Psalm 26, verse 1. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and try my heart. This morning, as I announced Wednesday evening, I want to talk about God trying our minds and our hearts. Before we get into lesson, I want to again thank everyone for your presence this morning. And again, last night was just a beautiful evening with all the support that we had from near and far, people coming to join us and singing praises to our Heavenly Father. Wednesday evening, I did a short talk on our heart, the seat of affections, and on the song, Give Me Thy Heart, and 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but to please God, who tests our hearts. God is going to test our hearts. What is our heart? That represents our emotion, our mental faculties, what we think, what we feel. It's the center of our being. We point up here for our heart, what we think, what we feel. When God tests our hearts, what is He going to see? Is He going to see something like this? Is He going to see whatever we have been seeing on TV or on our computer screen? Is He going to see something like this? A lot of times you see people, they don't even know someone else is around them, because they have their face in some kind of screen, and whatever is on that screen is going right into their heart. Everybody's out for our heart. Everybody. God wants it. He deserves it. Satan wants it. Everybody in between wants it. While I was working on this sermon, I came across this little booklet that I found interesting, Brainwashing, a synthesis of the Russian textbook on psychopolitics. Psychopolitics, the art and science of asserting and maintaining dominion over the thoughts and loyalties of individuals, officers, bureaus, and masses, the effecting of the conquest of the enemy nations through mental healing. So with this philosophy, psychopolitics, someone wants to assert and maintain dominion over our thoughts. They want to control our mind. They want to control our mind, and then they can come in and, oh, we've got something to help you. We can be your savior. So basically, a lot of people are just being pulled in one direction and another by what they see. David again says, Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me. Prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Can we say that to God? Can we confidently, boldly say to God, God, examine me. Look and see what I have in my heart. Prove me. Try me. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with the hypocrites. Psalm 26, 5, I have hated the assembly of the evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord. You see, we can't serve God with dirty hands. Dirty hands that are contaminated with the things of the world. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. This is a beautiful psalm in many ways, even though it's talking about, parts of it are talking about sin. But sometimes when we think about David, that's all we think about, of the sins that he committed. Someone says, tell me something about David. Well, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Well, he had her husband Uriah the Hittite put to death. He did this, he did that. And they think of all the wrong things. Do we think of the great love that David had for God? Friends, I pray that we all would have the same love for God that David had. And he was not ashamed. He was a sinful man just like every one of us. But he proclaimed his love for God and said, try me, examine me. So the question is, have we developed that same level of love? Can we confidently say to God, try my mind, try my heart? You know, we are commanded to have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. We're commanded to have the mind of Christ. And then people will say, I don't want anybody telling me what to think. Yet, we allow everybody telling us what to think when we turn on the TV, when we turn on our computer, when we look at this, when we watch that. And especially we allow everyone to tell us what to think when we close our Bible. We close our Bible and we are not letting God tell us what we put in our mind. Psalm 7:9, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. David repeats over and over that God tests our minds. Do we ever think about that? Or do we think God is not going to judge us or try us or test us till the judgment day? Friends, I would say He is testing our hearts and minds every day. And David welcomed this testing. Can we welcome the testing from God? Can we say, God, look down in my heart. Look down in my heart right now. Where is my heart? Is it centered on worship? Or is it 1,000 miles away somewhere else doing something else? Search my heart. Am I putting you first? Or am I going to get around to you after I take care of everything else? Paul told the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and those under the earth. Try my heart and my mind. You think about the mind of Christ. Being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he gave that all up. He came to this earth, taking the form of a bondservant. He came like us, found in appearance as us, and he humbled himself. He humbled himself to do the Father's will. Why did he do that? One of the reasons, he loved the Father. He wanted to carry out the Father's plan that the Father had for us before the foundation of the world, and that was in his heart. You think about how much Christ loved the church. He loved the church enough that he gave up heaven, he came to earth, he suffered as a man, and he shed his blood because he loved the church. That's you, that's me. How much do we love the church? Well, I go when I can. Well, I put some money in. Well, I don't do anything bad. I'm not talking about that. How much do we love the church? God, try my mind. Try my heart. God has exalted him. Every knee is going to bow in heaven. Every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Friends, we are either going to do that willingly now, or it's going to be forced on the day of judgment. And if we don't do it willingly now, after we confess the name of Christ, confess the name of God, then we're going to hear him say something. He's going to say, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you." Why? Because we just gave him lip service. We didn't love him. From this verse in chapter 2, verse 5 to verse 11, Paul presents Christ as the supreme example of unselfishness, which he exhorts the Philippians to have also. Have this mind in you. This is one of the expressions describing the redeemed in Christ. If we are redeemed, we are going to have the same mind as Christ. Somebody will say, well, how can we do that? We can't have the mind of Christ. We can. The mind of Christ is available to us through the gospel. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct us? But we have the mind of Christ." They had it. It was written down. And we proclaim and preach the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 3, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, but I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." We have the mind of Christ through the gospel, and we proclaim the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ confirmed by miracles. We don't have to wonder what the mind of Christ is. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power." It's interesting today, the criteria of the preachers in the New Testament and the criteria of preachers today and what the standard is. When, after Jesus met with his disciples, when he was talking to Peter in the last part of John, and he knew Peter was going to preach the first gospel sermon, he was going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, the house of Cornelius, what did he ask him? Did he say, "Peter, where did you go to school? Peter, where did you get your preaching degree? Peter, are you a good orator? Peter, do you use a lot of gestures, and do you march back and forth on the stage?" What did he ask him? He said, "Do you love me?" He said, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" My speech and my preaching, that's Peter, now Paul speaking. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Paul, we would call him a middle-aged man that was in and out of prison and beaten and run out of towns. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. We have the mind of Christ confirmed by miracles. Hebrews 2, verse 3, "How shall we escape, since we have the mind of Christ, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." Again, the miracle was the act. The wonder is what it caused in someone's mind. And the signs means it signified. It signified that this person that is speaking is from God. He's speaking with the authority of God. We have the mind of Christ through revelation. The mind of Christ communicated by verbal inspiration, 1 Corinthians 2:13. We have the mind of Christ through revelation. Who will receive the mind of Christ? Natural man refuses the gospel as foolishness. Closed mind. He refuses to be guided by revelation. He does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, the gospel. He lives on the basis of human reasoning alone. So when he hears the word of God, or he flips open his laptop and sees what's on there, which one is going to be wise and which one's going to be foolish? Which one is going to accept the words of God? Which one is not? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with reading stuff on your computer. I'm saying, what are we filling our mind with? Is it just random stuff? Whatever is out there? Do we question anything? Do we spend as much time putting the Bible, God's word, in our mind as we spend putting things of the world in our mind? And somebody will say, but preacher, I just don't have time to do that. Friends, we all have the same amount of time, and it's not my time, it's God's time that he gives us, and it's the choices that we make, it's how we prioritize our life. And if we don't put God's word into our mind first, then Satan's going to get it. And you know, when God wants our heart, or let me back up to Satan, when Satan wants our heart, he's happy with just a little bit of it. Just a little bit is all. He'll say, Laura, I don't want all your mind. Just give me a little bit. Just give me a little bit. And a lot of people will say, they'll justify, well, I'll give this much to Satan, but I'll give this much to God. But when we give just a little bit to Satan, God's not going to accept us. Because what does he want? He wants all of our heart. He wants us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, power, with every ounce of our being. Is it going to be worth it? Absolutely. Absolutely. What if we give in and give Satan something? It's going to cost us our soul for eternity. The spiritual man receives the gospel. He wants to know God's mind and knows he cannot without God telling him. That's why we have Bible study. That's why it's so important that we study the Bible when we come together, when we study it at home, and when we come together, we help each other to learn and understand more of the Bible. We're open-minded to receiving the truth of God. 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Isaiah 40, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him, with whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who is first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? This is a very beautiful verse. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And what do we, how do we treat it? Yeah, I'll read a verse now and then. Yeah, I'll look online at the verse of the day. Friends, our mind, our heart is going to starve if we don't feed it God's word. We must be feeding it God's word. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So as Christians, we're commanded to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So disciples of Christ put the word of Christ into our minds. If we are a follower of Christ, we take his word and put it in our mind, in our heart. The word of Christ must shape our thinking to who we are. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. When you see people that have hobbies, and again, nothing wrong with hobbies, and this has changed a lot in the last so many years, but I remember when I was a lot younger, going into somebody's house, and you knew what their hobbies were by the magazines and the books that they had laying around. Fishing magazines, hunting magazines, golf magazines, knitting magazines, cooking magazines. You knew what their interest was by what they took time putting into their mind. What do we put in our mind today? Some put just about any and everything except the Word of God. And friend, the enemy does not want us to have the mind of Christ. We need to understand that. When we talk about psychopolitics, Satan is the king of that. He is the king of that, trying to assert and maintain dominion over the thoughts and loyalties of people. Knowing if I can get them to do this, or I can get them to do that, I've got them. I've got them. Jesus said, learn from me. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take his yoke. His yoke is light and easy. Light and easy compared to what? Or is it easy to be a Christian? It's not easy to be a Christian, but his yoke is light and easy. But that raises the question, light and easy compared to what? The yoke of sin, the yoke of Satan, being yoked to the great deceiver. As disciples, we cannot follow the examples of Christ unless we start thinking like Christ. When Christ tells us to do this and do that, we aren't going to do it unless we start thinking like him. 1 Peter 4, verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Notice when Peter says, arm yourselves with this same mind. What kind of language is that? That's military language. Take up your sword. Be ready to fight. Arm yourselves with this same mind. Well, who are we fighting? We're fighting Satan. We're in a battle every day fighting Satan for our mind. And so many of us don't take up and arm ourselves, and we willingly hand it over to him. We don't fight back. The mind of Christ is a secure mind. Again, Paul writing to the Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Friends, we see many people today that are troubled. They're worried. When we got home last night, Carol said, I'd like to watch a little news. You want to turn on the news? And I said, nope. Not tonight. So much negativity, so much lies. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Friends, when we give God, when we give Christ our heart and give it to Him completely, we have a peace that the world does not have. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So what should I meditate on in my time? My favorite hobby, and again, there's nothing wrong with hobby. With a hobby, should I focus all my time, all my energy on that? Or should I think about the kingdom? Should I think about Christ? Friends, if we aren't thinking about Christ, if we aren't thinking about how Christ thought, we aren't going to do the things that Christ did. And how can we call ourselves a follower of Christ? When I was, one of the things that I get out of sermons is the study and research that I do, and I find so many neat things, and a lot of them I don't put on here. But this is something else I found interesting. With the mind, the conscious mind, and the subconscious mind, the conscious mind, 10% analyzes, thinks, and plans, short-term memory. We understand that conscious, we're awake. If you ask me a question when I'm halfway awake, when I'm halfway asleep, I can't analyze something. I'm not going to remember it. But when I'm conscious, when I'm awake, I can analyze things. I can think and I can make plans. And that conscious mind is important. But something, that part of our mind that is really important is our subconscious mind. Long-term memory. You know, we haven't been to the nursing home since COVID, but when we would go down there and sing, and some of those people that were there didn't have a songbook. They looked like they could hardly sit up, and we'd start singing, and they would sit up, and they knew the words to the songs. And when Brother Code was singing, you'd have people come down the hallway, see what was going on in there. But so many of those people had those songs in their memory, in their subconscious. Our emotions and feelings, that's like the lawyer asking Jesus, what shall I do to inherit life? And how does the law read? And the lawyer knew the letter of the law, but he didn't have any emotional connection to it. Habits, patterns, relationships, patterns, addictions, creativity, developmental stages, spiritual connection, intuition. So which part of our mind does God want? He wants all of it. He wants all of it. When we say, God, try me, examine my heart, when He looks in my conscious mind, when He looks in my subconscious mind, what's He going to see? Well, how can we make application and think like Christ? Love God with all our mind. Again, the great commandment that Jesus quotes in Matthew back from Deuteronomy, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. We need to think like a servant to others. John 13, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, sat down and said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Why weren't they doing that? Because they didn't have the mind of Christ. They wanted to be a disciple of Christ, but they didn't have the mind of Christ in their mind. We need to think like a servant to others. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Friends, we need to always accept God's teaching and please Him by keeping His word. Whatever He tells us to do, we do it. We need to think about our influence on others. We need to think humbly. Think no evil. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Not, "Father, forgive them, but I cannot forget them." There's so many people want to speak with someone else, yet they want God to forgive them of their sins. Friends, if we think like the world, we're going to die with the world. Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. See, when we were baptized, that old man, he's supposed to be dead. We don't want to revive him and let him come back to life. When our minds are set on heavenly things, our lives on earth will reflect our heavenly citizenship and what our life is about. Examine me, prove me, try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go with hypocrites. Friends, when we pass this test, when we ask God to examine me, prove me, try me, would we pass that test? Friends, the question is, do you have a heart to obey God? Do you have a heart to obey God right now? Friends, if you need to make correction in your life, if you need to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.